If you would, open your Bible to John chapter 16. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I just wondered how many listened to the radio message this morning. Well, that's good. Reason I said that is I would have hoped you had, but this will be the same message. I don't know if I ever have done it, but it just really spoke to my heart, and the more I thought about it and looked over it, I thought it would maybe be helpful to all of us. And the title of the message is Sorrow Turned to Joy. Let's first begin reading in chapter 15, verse 26. And so you will know the context of this scripture. Our Lord is with the 11 apostles. Judas has already left to go betray him. And he's walking with them on the way to Gethsemane. And he's encouraging them. He's telling them about the comforter that must come, the Holy Spirit. And he said, when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, here is the work of the Holy Spirit. He shall testify of me. And that's how we get comfort. Is when the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ and applies it to our hearts. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now verse 1 of chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And he's preparing them for what is going to come to pass. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God's service, that they're doing what God's will is. That's what they think. And these things they will do unto you, and the reason they will kill you and persecute you is because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, that you may remember that I've told them to you. And these things as I said unto you at the beginning, because these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But look in verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your hearts. We can't even begin to imagine what was going on in their mind. He told them, and it's either they hear, heard, or just didn't want to hear, or didn't want to think about it, that their Lord, the one they'd been with for over 3 years, was going to die. And he said, I know that it's filled your heart with sorrow. You imagine just the thought of our Lord leaving you for a while. What are you going to do? What's going to happen? And it's your heart is filled with sorrow. Now look over to verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, still speaking to the disciples, you shall weep and lament. That's an expression of their sorrow. You will weep and lament. But the world's going to rejoice. Totally opposite. And you shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He's going to take the sorrow, and he's going to turn that sorrow into joy. I went back and looked again this morning just to make sure. Remember when they come to the waters of Mara, when they were bitter, when they just come out of Egypt, and they couldn't drink the waters because they were so bitter. And Moses took a tree or something and put it in the water, and the waters become sweet. But you know what he did? He didn't get new water. He turned that same water that was bitter into something that was sweet. And it's just like our Lord. He turned that water at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. He turned the water into wine. He turns the sorrow into joy. A woman, and he uses an illustration of sorrow turning into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. It's like, you know, we've seen, you know, and I've seen my wife do, well, it's time. You know what she's saying? Her hour has come. The hour that she's either looked for with joy or kindly dreaded because of what she knows that she must go through. Her hour has come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you ladies know what that's about. You remember the sorrow that you came through and the joy when they took that little child for the first time, and it may not even been cleaned up much, and they laid it on your arms, and it just is hard to describe. Yeah, I consider myself a man, and sometimes I get a little emotional. I got a little emotional to see life. But now the sorrow that she went through is now turned to joy. And without the sorrow, there would have been no joy. And ye now therefore have sorrow. He said, I know you have sorrow. And it's like this morning. He knows that you have sorrow. Every one of us has sorrow. We do. Things we face. When we see how the world treats our Lord, that brings us sorrow. He said, you're going to rejoice in, sorrow, and the world's going to rejoice over it. And now, therefore, you have sorrow. But I will see you again. If he had never saw them again, they would have never had any joy. Continual sorrow. But I will see you again, and when I see you again, your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take it from you. Here our Lord is speaking to his disciples, and I pray by his grace he would speak to us. He knows, and he's trying to prepare them for what he's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to die, and he knows it. It says there, her hour had not come. They several times, even in the book of John, I think it's three times where he said, mine hour is not yet come. They wanted to come lay hands on him and make him a king, but he wouldn't allow it. His hour's not yet come. They wanted to get him another time, and he just slipped through the crowd. You know why? His hour was not yet come. But now his hour is come. They couldn't lay hands on him before. Now he's going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Sinful men are going to lay hold of the Son of God and take him out, and they're going to crucify him. They're going to mock him. They're going to spit upon him. And that will be such great sorrow. But after that, there'll be such great joy. When the hour was come for our Lord to die the hour that was determined by God Almighty. This is the hour when the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Let me give you a couple of those when it talks about when his hour has come. And John's, all these are in John. John 12:23. And Jesus answered him, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. This is why I was born. This is why I came into this world, to die. John 13:1. Now the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come. We don't know when our hour to leave this world is. He did. This didn't catch him by surprise. He knew it. And it happened when he, "No man takes it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And in John 17, he said, "Father," and you think about this, "the hour is come." That the time that was decreed before the whole world was made, this hour is come. When a woman's hour is come for her child, it's time for her to be delivered of her child. It's time for her to bring forth into this world life. Sarah is a part of the curse. Sarah is a part of sin. We have Sarah because of sin. Sarah. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. I want to show you this. Now, I know today that we have all kinds of medicines. I know that there's spinal blockers and many things to deaden the pain when a woman goes into labor. I can't imagine being a husband of a wife back when they had midwives. And they would come to the house, probably had no pain deadening of any kind. And that woman going through such extreme pain, hearing her screaming, because her hour is come. So, but why is it that a woman has to go through such, the Bible calls it travail. Why is it she has to go through such great sorrow? Sin. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord called unto Adam when Adam fell, and God said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I've commanded you that you shouldn't eat of it?" And the man said, "The woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The first thing he did was turned on God and turned on his wife. That woman, his wife, "That woman that you gave me." And the Lord said unto the woman, "Well, what is this as thou hast done?" And the woman, she said, "Well, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord said to God, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, and every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the day of thy life." And here's the first promise. And here God tells them and tells us about someone that one day will come. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Now, who is her seed? the Lord Jesus Christ. She's the seed, he's the seed of the woman, he's not seed of the man. He had a human nature, but not a sinful nature. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, causing him to suffer. And then he said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. And in thy conception, and in I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. I don't know who it was I was reading from, Spurgeon or someone, and he was saying that, you know, we have goats and they have little children, and he said that he didn't know of any other animal or anything that their birth was as horrible and as sorrowful as a woman. Sorrow. But sorrow. Woman, she says, well, I'm expecting, and she knows what she's going to expect, especially if she's been through it before. You know what she has to look forward to? There's no way around it. To deliver that child. Now, she even has sorrow before. I know women that were sick for a whole 9 months. Sorrow. Why? Sin. But through that sorrow, he brings such great joy. Our Lord's telling his disciples the hour has come. Their hearts were filled with sorrow. And he said, you shall weep and lament, and the world, they're going to rejoice. I think the disciples' hearts, I think they were just crushed. Their master's going to leave them. The shepherd will be smitten, and the sheep will be scattered. But here's the glorious truth of the gospel. Your sorrow shall be turned into glory. And our Lord here, as we read, he uses a woman as an illustration that when she is in travail, she has sorrow. In childbirth, she's bringing forth life. But after that child is born, it's not that you could ever forget the pain. You could never forget it. But when you see that baby, it's all worth it. It's life. And you think about this, when our Lord died, it was death. He saw the travail of his soul, and when he was satisfied, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why did he have to experience so much sorrow? Why did he have to go through travail? Without travail, there's no birth. Without travail, there's no new life. There's no regeneration. He's got to suffer. He saw the travail of what? His soul. I know, ladies, it's not just a physical pain. It is a mental thing. You know, sustain or bear so much pain. Give me something to deaden the pain. And our Lord wouldn't take anything. And you go, why is he suffering? Sin. When God laid all the sin of his people upon his son, he died in their place so that we could be born again by his grace. Travail. They put him in the grave. He can't be dead. Surely not. Surely he didn't die. Surely this ain't true. Yeah, he died. Terrified, scared to death. But you just wait till the third day. Their sorrow will be turned into joy. There has to be sorrow. Now listen to me. There has to be sorrow before there can be joy. People want the glory without the cross. They want the joy without the sorrow, and it can't be. God kills and he makes alive. He brings, and there's sorrow of soul and conviction. Sorrow. Broken over your sin. I can't find any joy. There's no joy anywhere. I find it in nothing. And you won't find it in things. Because nothing can give you life. But there has to be the pain. Paul said, I travailed in birth until Christ was formed in you. You know what salvation is? It's when Christ is formed in you. And it's life. You know, when it's life, it's when Christ is formed in you. And it's when that male seed is in that mother's womb, that's life. There's conception. And then it runs its course. You wonder, why did God make it 9 months? I don't know. Ain't you glad he didn't make it 2 years? 9 months. He set the time. And that woman, she's carried this child. Sarah received strength to conceive seed. And not only conceived seed, she carried the child. And she delivered the child. And she raised the child. The disciples had literal sorrow when their Lord was crucified and buried. And in the third day, you remember, I think it was, and it, this is kindly, I think it's ironic. You know who the first people were to the tomb that day? It was women. Mary Magdalene, this is a woman of whom he cast out 7 demons. And she runs back to the disciples, the 11, they're scared to death in a room. And they said, he's alive. They said, that's just some idle tale. You're just making that up. We don't believe it. And they're still sorrowful. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus? They're talking, and I can see them just barely walking. With their head hung down, and I guess we might as well go back home to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. I thought he was the one. We thought he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And their hearts are sorrow. And the women came and told us he's alive. And we don't know if it's true or not. And it said in Luke 24:32, you know, he appeared to them. And he said, why are your hearts so sorrowful? They said, do you not know what just happened? Do you live in another country somewhere? Jesus Christ, the Son of David, died, and they said he's alive, and we just don't believe it. He said, oh, fools and slow of heart. Don't you know that he had to suffer and die, and you know what he did? And he may have went back to Genesis 3:15. He said, you know that seed of the woman? He said, that's talking about me. Oh, really? He goes to Exodus, the Passover. That's talking about me. David sitting on the throne. That's talking about me too. He took them through the scriptures and showed them how they spoke of him. And you know what they said? These people are crushed. Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us, by the way? They're not sad now. But their sadness is turned to joy. When you see Christ and you've been under sorrow and such pain and you see him, you forget all the sorrow. It doesn't even matter. He opened unto us the scriptures and he acted as he was going on down the road and they constrained him. And you imagine these people, they're probably wore out. It's probably the end of the day. I mean, our Lord rose there that morning, and they've, you know, been, you know, something wears on you. It's like when Joe was in the hospital, and we didn't know how what was going to happen, and it wears on you mentally and physically. And they're sitting there looking at one another. Our Lord, he appeared and then he disappeared. And they go, man, he's alive. He's really alive. You know, this ain't secondhand information. This ain't information from Mary Magdalene. This ain't information from Peter and John. They saw him. They've held him. He's alive. Well, what are they going to do? Oh, we're just going to go to bed. It said they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him. It didn't say they walked. It said they ran. And you know how far that is? It's like you running from right here to the interstate at 7 miles. You go, they wore out. Yeah, they wore out. But it didn't matter. It's like this. You've got something to tell. I can tell her now. I remember when Heather was born, I went and bought me a bunch of cigars. And I wanted everybody to know. I remember I went by because, you know, Debbie was in the hospital. I went by. I had to go get a biscuit. And the guy at the drive-thru even gave him a cigar. He said, did your wife have a baby? He sure did. You know what? Why'd you have such joy? I've got a little girl. He didn't have to have a little boy. We never had any boys. It didn't matter. Life. Now that's sorrow. Do you know, and I tell you the whole story sometime, but she only knew she was pregnant for 6 weeks. She goes to the doctor to try to get something where she could get pregnant. And they said, do you hear this sound? Yeah. Said, do you know what that is? And she said, no, that's a heartbeat. So then when she goes in labor, they don't know how far along she is. So they send her to another hospital where they have a prenatal or for little children born early. And you imagine this is your first, you know, your first time. And then they give you, you took Lamaze classes, you know. Like that's going to help out the sorrow. Yeah, really. But I remember it was so bad. She had so much trouble. She busted the blood vessels in her eyes. And it didn't even look like my wife. But I can tell you when that little baby was born and she had all of her little 10 fingers and her little toes, they ain't nothing mattered more. He took the sorrow of the seeing my wife suffer, and brought such great joy. He brings the sorrow of conviction, and he brings life, joy. All believers must pass through this world with godly sorrow, which distinguishes them from the joy of the world. He said, blessed are they that hunger, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that weep. You shall laugh. But he said, woe unto them that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, you're going to mourn. The world, and they still do, they don't find any joy in our Lord. They take his name in vain. But you lament, you listen. One day, our sorrow, when we lay down these old bodies and they're changed, one day, we'll have true joy that will never end. The world did not mourn over his death. They rejoiced. They mocked him, laughed at him. And like I said, it's enough to make a child of God mourn. But our Lord said, your sorrow shall be turned to joy. We shall mourn for him whom we have pierced. And that's when you'll have real sorrow. It's when you see, and when you see it by the eye of faith, that it was your sin that nailed him to that cross. And that's when you will sorrow. That's when it will break your heart. It's your sin. Your sin that nailed him. He's dying for your sin. He's dying to put away your sin. And you see that. He said, they shall see him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him. And you know there in, you know, the two men came back from Emmaus, and they told what they said, he's alive. And you know, they still I think just can't believe it. And it said in John 20, verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Why did he show them his hands and his side? That's what he showed Thomas. You mean he still has that now? Sure does. And you know, I think this is what's going to be part of the joy when we see him. We will see what he endured to give us life. He said, it's me. And I said, oh, Thomas, when he seen it, he said, oh, my Lord and my God. And they were glad. You know what they were glad? They saw him. When you see, you know when you will have joy? When you see him. When you see him by faith, nothing else matters. You'd run 20 miles. It's like Todd said, remember the man the Lord told him, said, don't go tell anybody. And the first thing he did, he went and told it. What'd you expect him to do? If you was healed of leprosy, you'd tell it. God give you joy. I've seen the Lord. Everybody may not rejoice with you, but anybody that's ever saw him will rejoice. You mean he's alive? He's alive. You don't have a reason to be sorrowful. He's done paid the sin debt. He's done put away sin. Why are you so sorrowful? Why is your heart so heavy? You notice he said it's not only that their sorrow should give, plead it and say that their sorrow would give place to joy, but it would be turned to joy. The very cause of the sorrow was the death of Christ. Not because the ground and subject, but now it becomes the ground and subject of their joy. Why do we have joy? Because he lives. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. You will appreciate it one day if you're like those on the road to Emmaus, and he just happens to show up. And you know what happened? Your heart will burn within you. You know what that is? That's worship. That's worship. Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. A woman has sorrow when her hour is come, but after the sorrow is past and the child is born, her heart is filled with joy. And the whole family, isn't it amazing how people love to see little babies? I mean, their face just lights up. You know, and grandpas talk like little boys. Oh, this is, look at him. He's just a life. And they just giggle, giggle, giggle. That's how we do. Isn't it amazing how the Lord did things? And through such great pain and sorrow comes such great joy. Our Lord used the example of a woman in travail to set forth the necessity and the severity of our sorrow. It's real. Someone was saying the other day, you know, they said, you know, we're, you know, it's like when Frank's two daughters, they lost their babies. The pregnancy's ended. No joy. Just sorrow. And maybe one day the Lord may allow them to conceive and have a child. And let me share this with you. When our Lord died, there's no stillbirths. All for whom he died will be saved. Do you think it would bring him any joy if he died for someone and paid their sin debt and then they wound up in hell? Oh, no. But all for whom he travailed. Not just a body, but of the soul. And he was satisfied. Linda, he saw you being born again. Paul, he saw you. He saw the travail. I want you to listen to this, and I'll close. In Hebrews, it says, consider him who endured such great affliction and contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Who for the joy, not for the sorrow, but for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy? Oh, yeah. We wanted children, yeah, but my wife, she's got to go through sorrow. And if you love your wife, you go through it with her. Not literally, but in your heart you do. I pray if you're having sorrow that God would turn that sorrow into great joy. And he's able to do it. Let's stand.